this morning, and he seemed to direct my thoughts to the first chapter of the first epistle of John. And the subject of this chapter seems to be fellowship. And I think that the Lord has something to say to us this morning about fellowship, our relationship with each other. And it's good to know what God has to say about the relationship with each other, because it is possible to have a pseudo relationship with each other. I mean by that it is a man-made relationship. I think that the word relationship has often been used out of context with its biblical meaning. We should use the word fraternal rather than fellowship when we're talking about certain relationships. And I believe that the church offers to people certain fraternal relationships which they find in the social order of the church and in those activities that are common to mankind, which really do not belong to the realm of fellowship as it is indicated in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, it might be well for you to follow, because I'm just going to make a reading here this morning of the Word of God and follow it down through the Scriptures. John, writing to the church, says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of God." He's talking, of course, here about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which was from the beginning, whom they heard, they looked upon, and their hands have handled, and he was called the Word of God. For the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. I'm not talking about the Bible now. I'm not talking about the Scriptures. The inscripturation is just a portion of the Word of God that God has maintained for man's benefit. But Jesus Christ was the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is no distinction whatsoever between God and His Word. God's Word is God. And so, Jesus Christ coming down and being seen and handled and heard was God's expression. He was saying something to the world. In the first chapter of Hebrews, it says that God, who in times past has spoken unto us by his prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us, and here's the wording here, in Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ was what God is saying to the world. Not just the words that Jesus spoke, but the person of Jesus Christ himself was God's message, God's word to the world. He is God's message to us this morning. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. This is the beginning of the manifestation of eternal life. And this is the foundation of fellowship. In other words, you cannot have fellowship with anybody that doesn't have eternal life. For the life was manifested in Christ, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. He is eternal, God is. And was manifested unto us. I don't think that we actually could stand the revelation of God, who He is. I heard a minister say the other day that there are certain theological position or belief that God actually doesn't know what the future is. And that is the reason for the what is a so-called biblical dispensations, where God had to change His position a little bit to meet the exigencies of the time, the way things turned out to be. God wasn't really prepared for it, so He repented that He had done this or that, and He changed His position. How foolish can man be? That God, the omnipotent one, all-present, omniscient, all-wise, omnipotent, all-powerful, God doesn't know anything about tomorrow. God is life. He's eternal life. And He manifested to mankind eternal life in His Son. And all that came to Him, all that came to Jesus and believed the message that Jesus was God in the flesh, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, and they were given the gift of eternal life. And as I said before, this is the foundation of fellowship. We can't have fellowship with everybody, even everybody that goes to church. Can't have fellowship with everybody that goes to church. There's only one basis of fellowship. And that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we have here a biblical analogy that fellowship is a triune situation in which any individual who has fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, can have fellowship, and it is mandatory that the fellowship exists between everybody in the world who has fellowship with the Father and with His Son. For fellowship is a spiritual revelation of God. It is not a created thing by man in which man can say, well, brother, I will have fellowship with you, or I will not have fellowship with you anymore. He has no control. Man has no control over fellowship. Man-controlled fellowship is that which causes division in the church and denominations. But this thing that the Bible calls fellowship is the creation of God and maintained by the Holy Ghost, that every person in the world that has fellowship with God, I don't care whether it's a Catholic priest or an Episcopalian father, if he has fellowship with God, you have fellowship with him. But man has created a pseudo situation in which we have fellowship with the people that go to the same place we go to, that sing the same choruses that we sing, and that enjoy the same typical personality situation that we enjoy. In other words, the reason that you folks are here in this schoolhouse is because you like the personality of this gathering, the program that is carried on, it fits into your situation. You like it, and that's the reason you come. Otherwise, you'd be someplace else. But this is not the foundation for fellowship at all. Because in the midst of your situation, you may have people who do not have fellowship with God. Nor with his son, Jesus Christ. They're just followers. And Christianity basically is, I've said this before, I'll say it again, it may sound a little bit crude, but basically, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And this is something that no other religion has. Who could have a relationship with Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad or any of those great world religious leaders that set up a religion? Who could have fellowship with them? They're in their graves. They're gone. All that's left is the ashes or the remnant of their teachings. But Christianity has a personality to it, because a person is in the heart of it. Jesus, the personality of Jesus Christ, is in a Christian who knows and has fellowship with him and is related to Jesus Christ. This is what fellowship is. This is how people can love each other and pray with each other and rejoice with each other and cry with each other and suffer with each other and give out to each other, because we have fellowship with the Father. And it isn't something that can be put on. It isn't something that could be made. As I say, it's like a triangle. If the base of the triangle is the same length as the sides of the triangle, then the right hand side of the triangle is the same length as the base, and the left-hand triangle is the same length as the base, then it must necessarily be that these two, the left and the right, are the same length with each other. That is a law of geometrics. In other words, two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So that if I have fellowship with my God and with his son, Jesus Christ, and the pastor, Pastor Davis, has fellowship with God and with his son, Jesus Christ, it isn't something that we can create between ourselves to have fellowship. It's just there. We are related to each other because we're both related to the same Father. Praise the Lord. And that is the reason he writes, he said, that we have, he writes that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This joy, and I'll tell you, friends, it is a beautiful thing to have the joy of the Lord among God's people. And this is the product of this fellowship that we're talking about. I don't know how you felt this morning, but when you came into this place and you immediately came in contact with people who have fellowship with the Father, what was your reaction inside? How did you feel? Did you feel joyful? Well, this is a natural product of people who have fellowship with each other that is developed. And every meeting should be a joyful meeting because a bunch of people are gathered together who have fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore they have fellowship with each other. And that kind of a thing is just more than a handshake or a hug. It runs deeper than that. It's a relationship. A relationship. A relationship. Now, it is wonderful to have relations, natural, fleshly relations, mother, father, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, and all the rest of it. But this relationship far exceeds that. The relationship of the flesh is just of the flesh, and it is something that comes to an end. The grave ends all human relationships. That's the reason that there'll be no sorrow in heaven. Some folks say, how could I be happy in heaven when my mother isn't there? Well, because that relationship doesn't exist in heaven. That was just a flesh relationship that ended at the grave. There isn't any more. All of your relatives will be in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
Because we are related to people in God. So they'll all be there. I remember one time many years ago, my wife and I were driving through the state of Oregon. We'd been someplace, I don't know where now, but we were coming on the way home anyhow. And as we drove along, she mentioned to me that she had a cousin living a few miles off the main road, a little town back a few miles. She said, I haven't seen him for many years. I would like to, let's go over and visit him. I said, okay. And so we thought, well, we'll go there and spend the night with him. And so we drove over to this town and looked them up and found them and were welcomed at the door. And for some time, my wife and this cousin of hers engaged in a busy conversation about when they were kids together, playing in the farm and all the rest of it. Just reminiscing, you know how people do. But I noticed that finally, the conversation began to slow up. And then they began to repeat themselves. And there wasn't seemed to be much more to be said. And then they got to talking about the weather. Nice day today, yes, nice day. And after they went over that a few times, they came to a stall. These people were ungodly people. They knew that we were Christians. But there was just an impasse. There was no flow anymore. Just over kid days, you know, when that ran out, it was nothing. And we had planned to stay overnight, but I saw that we had reached the ho-hum stage of this conversation. So I suggested that we go, and they agreed. So we continued on our way, and night overtook us. And this was years ago, before they had the freeways through, but just off the highway coming into southern Washington, a little town called Mossy Rock. And it wasn't right on the main road, but it was just a little short distance off. I knew some folks. I knew a woman, a minister, and her husband. She was the preacher. Anyhow, she had been in our church in Everett once. And I got acquainted with her, just a short acquaintance. And but they were there pastoring, and so I said to my wife, let's stop in their place. And it was just pouring down rain, just one of those stormy times that I could hardly see the road ahead, just lashing the car, the rain was. I finally made it into town, and we found this little old church. It was late then. And there was a little cottage next to the church, and I said, I think that they must live in that little house next door. And I very reluctantly went to the door. It was dark inside. And I knocked on the door. I kept knocking two or three. Pretty soon there was a light turned on in there. And pretty soon the door opened about that far. Looked out into the night at me. And it was this woman. She said, when she recognized me, she says, Brother Butterfield, come on in here. She grabbed me by the hand and pulled me in the house. And she called for her husband to get out of bed. And my wife came in. Oh, I'm so glad you came. What are you doing out this stormy night? You're going to stay with us tonight. We only have one bed, but we can go to the neighbors. Oh, no, we said, no, don't do that. Oh, yes, you cannot leave us tonight. This is fellowship, folks. And so they got ready, and they left the house. And you know, we crawled into a pre-warmed bed. That's real fellowship. We woke up early in the morning, and we woke up to the beautiful aroma of bacon and eggs frying. The coffee pot was on. And they called us for breakfast. And oh, we had a beautiful time together, just talking about God all the time. You see, we were both connected with God. And it was something to talk about. She said to me, you have to stay and be with us tonight and speak in the service tonight. I said, no, we can't do that. Oh, yes, stay a little longer. No, we stayed a little longer, and then it was stay a little longer. Well, we finally got away. But you see, here was a person we hardly knew. We just hardly knew. But a person who knew God and had fellowship with God. And we had fellowship with God. And that was a relationship that had been established before the worlds were made. We're just kind of glued together, folks. That's right. Whether you like it or not, we're just glued together by God. We have fellowship. And fellowship is a powerful ministry in the church. When people have this relationship with God, they minister to each other. And every meeting can be an experience, an adventure. And that's what it should be. I think that when the saints come marching in the house of God, it is an adventuresome time. Last Sunday morning, I think it was last Sunday morning, when the Sonics were playing the last game. I'm kind of a Sonics fan. Not too much of one, but they just got started at church time. It was an hour earlier over there. Just got started to play. I was in my motel, and I switched them on. I had about 2 minutes to see it. The first score, I think. And I thought to myself, this is going to be an exciting game. But we're going to a greater and more exciting game this morning at the house of God. And I can't hardly wait till I get there. And so we went to the house of the Lord. We had 3 services that Sunday morning. But they were beautiful. And that great church was just packed with people out on the Lord's Day while the Sonics were at home getting beat. Praise the Lord for this fellowship. I often wonder, do you value this fellowship? Is it meaningful to you? Does it have worth to it? When you go to the house of the Lord, to know that there are some people in that church that you're going to live with throughout eternity. Because God, the eternal God, who has eternal life, has given that life to you. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Talking about the pseudo-fellowship. If we walk in darkness, well, what is some of the darkness? I think the next chapter says here that he that saith that he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, people that hate each other are full of stumbling. They're just wandering about. They don't know where they're going. But people who walk in the light, as he is in the light, there's no stumbling in him. It's a beautiful thought there. There's no stumbling around, trying to find a way in the darkness. For a Christian who's in the light and who loves his brethren and doesn't hate them, There's just direction after direction after direction, day after day after day, because the love of God that is there by the Holy Ghost is the propelling influence of his life. Praise God forevermore. It is glad to get up in the morning and glad to go to bed at night. You have a sense of peace all of the time. There's no turmoil grinding away on the inside as we have fellowship one with another. Would it be a miserable thing to be married to a woman that you didn't have any fellowship with? To me, that would be a life of misery, to be living with somebody that there's no fellowship with. Thank God for Christian homes. Thank God for these husbands and wives that not only love each other, but they love God too at the same time. That's what makes marriage beautiful, isn't it? It really is. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, there is an almost imperceptible truth here that you would not ordinarily find unless the Spirit of Revelation would point it out to you. There is a sense in which we are all sinful, particularly as we think of the holiness of God, the awful holiness of God. And yet so often sinful things will come through our minds. our thoughts and even in our words. In fact, in lack of faith in what God said is called sin. That which is not of faith is sin. But we do not have to sort out these things and identify them necessarily. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We don't have to even confess them, because there is an automatic self-adjusting arrangement by God to take care of the unidentifiable sins of our life. Later on, it tells about the identifiable sins. But since in our weakness as human beings, we often do things, think things, and say things that are not pleasing to God at all, but the blood of Jesus Christ is continually in operation to cleanse us before God, to cleanse us before God and keep us clean in the sight of God all of the time. Then there are identifiable sins. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, because there are sins that are identifiable, and we know that we have said and done and thought things that are wrong, and our conscience bothers us. The Holy Ghost convicts us, and so we deal with them. And then it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But none of us say that. None of us say we have not sinned. We can't say that, because this would bring down the glory of God. And we must realize that God is glorified and God rejoices in the cleansing of sin. In other words, what his Son Jesus Christ has done is the very peak of his glory in his relationship to us. He is happy for us to recognize that we have sinned, because that magnifies the redemption from sin and the cross of Calvary and the dying of Jesus on the cross for sin. So that if we say we have sinned and he has forgiven us, this is for the glory of God and the praise of God throughout eternity. Praise God. I heard a minister say once that God took him up to be with him for a little time and talked with him. And in this conversation that he had with God, he asked God if he could see the record, God's record, I think it was himself. And God wouldn't show him a record of himself. But he said, "Can I see the record of Abraham?" God said, "Yes, I'll show you the record of Abraham." And God pulled out of his eternal files Abraham's record. And you know what he found on the record? Nothing but good. There was not one mistake that Abraham ever made, not even those mistakes when he tried to trade off his wife. Wasn't recorded. When he went down into Egypt, a place where God didn't want him to go, not recorded. And this is a beautiful thing to me, that the sins of the saints are not recorded. And he said that God told him that he had cast into the sea of forgetfulness all of man's sins. And he added this to it, that Lord said to him, "I have forgotten that I have even forgotten their sins. If that isn't double security for a saint, I've never heard of it. I have forgotten, even that I have forgotten, their sins are no more. And this has brought about the fellowship that we have one with another. Our sins are all under the blood. Our sins have been washed away. And before God, in God's sight, we are sinless because we have acknowledged our sins and then acknowledged Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose blood has cleansed us from all sin. That's what fellowship means. It means that we have eternal life together, and we love one another and cherish one another. And this is the emphasis that is given in all the New Testament about the result of this fellowship. The result of this relationship is that God's people love each other. There's no competition in the kingdom of God. Competition is a man-made thing. Competing with one another along any line does not belong to the kingdom of God at all. The kingdom of God is made up of all of us, and all that we do and think and say and are contribute to the blessing and glory of each other. Praise the Lord forever. May God bless this truth of fellowship. I have had some experiences in my life which made me feel hypocritical. I tried to have fellowship with somebody that it wasn't in me to have it. You know, kind of a forced situation in which I would shake a brother's hand. I don't know whether to call him a brother, but a Christian, so-called Christian, and shake their hand and say, God bless you, brother. And there was nothing here. There was nothing here. There was a barrier. There wasn't the flow. There wasn't the feeling. There wasn't the knowledge, inner knowledge, that this was a brother in Christ. And yet, because they belonged to the same fraternal organization or to the same denomination or even to the same local congregation, and I've had them in my church when I was pastoring, people, some, very few, thank God, that there was absolutely no fellowship with whatever. But we mingled together. We ate potluck dinners together and played basketball together and all the rest of it. But it was just as dead as a doornail between us. Don't force the issue of fellowship. It's there by itself. You don't have to do anything about it. All you have to do is to live in the blessing of the Lord and in your relationship with Jesus, with the Father, and with His Son. And God sets up the order, the household order of fellowship between us and our brethren. May God bless this truth to our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. Shall we all stand together?